In a tight labor market, maybe having that college degree isn't as valuable as first thought.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. Happy Labor Day. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Later this week, President Obama will give a major speech to Congress on his plans to kickstart employment. Just about everybody who's fortunate enough to have a job has been losing ground on wages lately. And as it turns out, new college graduates are no exception. Marketplace's Bob Moon reports higher education isn't paying the dividends as big as it used to.
Lately, the procession of college graduates has had to join the parade of unemployed already looking for work. And according to research by the Economic Policy Institute, that means all their hard studying isn't paying off as much.
Employers know that they don't have to pay big wage and benefit packages when there's a queue of desperate new entrants to the labor market around the block.
Economist Heidi Shierholz says even as college costs have soared, the average starting wage for graduates dropped by roughly a dollar an hour over the past decade to around $21.75 for men, $18.50 for women. There's still a wage premium for those who get their degree, but she says it's no longer growing.
College-educated workers do indeed make a lot more money, both to start out with and over their lifetimes, but the payoff is stagnating.
She says there isn't much hope that'll change, not with the jobless rate expected to stay above 8% well into 2014.
With unemployment that high for that long, there's just going to be nothing that's going to lift these wages up anytime soon.
If it's any consolation, Shierholz says that degree is still likely to improve your chance of at least finding a job. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
And all this week, Marketplace will feature special coverage on jobs, the nation's high unemployment, and what can be done to fix it. Let's do the numbers. Global shares are much lower at the moment. In Europe, markets are down anywhere from 2 to 4%. Wall Street is closed today for the Labor Day holiday. Maybe it needs to get a rest after the Dow plunged 253 points on Friday to close at 11,240. Well, the Venice Film Festival is underway this week in Italy, and in a city where water and canals are the main attraction, a sunken piece of land is a stark reminder of Europe's financial crisis. The BBC's Emma Jones reports from Venice.
3 years ago, the Venice Film Festival started ambitious plans to build a $170 million state-of-the-art cinema complex. The first part of funding, some $54 million, was spent on excavations and dealing with toxic asbestos, which was found during the digging of the proposed site. But the project ran out of money, thanks to Italy's economic woes. And so what's left is a literal crater right next to the red carpet. Mark Adams is a chief critic of industry magazine Screen International. He says since the global economic crisis of 2008, the challenge for Venice is to continue to attract American interest.
Any film wants that big North American deal. They don't come in as many numbers because it's too far away and it's just before Toronto for them. And it's very expensive here.
As studios batten down the hatches and commission only safe box office bets, more names are flocking to make independent cinema, of which Venice is a champion. So this year, Kate Winslet and George Clooney are all here for films by directors like David Cronenberg and Roman Polanski. In Venice, I'm the BBC's Emma Jones for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
Makers of consumer products spend nearly $30 billion a year to figure out what sells, what doesn't, and why. And these days, some are using technology first developed for British fighter pilots. It's called eye tracking. And we sent Christopher Worth to have a look.
First, I want to find out what eye tracking is. So I've come to this supermarket in West London to meet Ian Janes from a company called iTracker. It's one of a growing number of agencies studying what consumers actually look at when they see ads or packaging on store shelves. Janes hands me a pair of glasses straight out of a sci-fi movie.
If you can pop those on.
Mounted on top are two small cameras.
One is a field of vision camera, which collects everything that's in front of you.
And the other camera is pointed at my pupil and follows it wherever I look. When that's laid over the video of what I actually see, you get a set of crosshairs tracking every detail I focus on in the store.
And if you go off and do your shopping come back and we'll have a look at the tape.
Okay. Sorry to bother you. Could you point me to the laundry detergent aisle? The clerk leads me to a long row with at least a dozen brands to choose from. Liquid detergent, powdered detergent. But my eyes quickly settle on a big blue box with a red logo and an image of a father and son playing in the grass. A detergent called Persil. And it costs £6.40. I bring the glasses back to Janes and we look at the tape of my purchase.
Okay, so you're now going to the detergent aisle. You're trying to decide which one to go for.
I like to think of myself as a price-conscious shopper, but when we watch the tape, I realize I hardly look at price tags at all.
The amount of time people actually spend looking at price is very, very small.
Jane says my little test shows why eye-tracking is so useful. Instead of relying on what people in focus groups say they look at, marketers can see for themselves what packaging catches a shopper's eye. And eye-tracking can also help marketers figure out why we connect with certain products.
Generally, we shop in a subconscious mode.
I played my video for Nick Widdowson, who works with eye tracking at Unilever. It's the company that makes that box of Persil laundry detergent. Remember that picture of the father and son on the front? Widdowson notices I can't take my eyes off it.
From the amount of time you were looking at it, suggests that image seems to have struck a chord with you as a shopper.
And when I think about it, he's probably right. I am getting married soon, and my fiancé and I are thinking about starting a family. Who knew shopping could be so revealing? In London, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
And finally, college football kickoff weekend continues today, and I'm pretty sure most of the players will be of the 18 to 22-year-old variety. But at Faulkner University in Alabama, the median team age is a bit higher. That's because junior Alan Moore is 61 years old. He left college back in 1968 to fight in Vietnam. He recently just re-enrolled, and he's going to suit up as a place kicker this weekend. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
When is zero less than zero? Why, when you talk to an economist, of course.
Just to keep up with population growth, you need about 125,000 net new jobs every month.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Jobs, a hot topic, the cold reality, maybe even freezing. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.